Buddy, welcome to June's Man, and I hope everybody had a good Yontif. Tonight's year will be just a little shorter, as will the next one, because I'm really kind of on the road. Don't have the normal amenities, although everybody's being super exceptionally nice, trying to help. Josh, they locked you back in a room?
What?
It looked like they locked you up again.
Where am I locked up?
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Oh, yeah, with the sunlight, right.
Exactly. I just have these, you know, when I see
memories,
you know, it brings back, you know, concern and memories. Okay. So at least let's get started. I'll try to get more Marmokomos later. Let's assume for the moment that we'll do another share this week, hopefully on Thursday. We'll try for the same time. If for whatever reason we need to adjust it in terms of Wi-Fi or other issues, so I'll be in touch with either Avrami or Josh or Asher, etc. And either way, I'll try to send more Marmokomos along, hopefully, you know, today at some point. But at least we'll try to begin. So I thought we would, you know, zero in on a couple of topics. Chesk Sabbatim is so packed with them. We did a, you know, pretty good Hakdama to Cheskas Gimel Shanim. And Agav, that covers also at least some of the Yesodos, not the details, of Mecha'a, which is the flip side of the Chazakah. But of course, the issues that we explored in that you know, topic, the nature of Chazakah, the different perspectives of the, you know, the whole Chayusha, the, you know, the two Deos and Chav Tesem Aleph, etc., those constitute like the foundations for understanding a lot of the other topics, Ritzufos and Mekuta'os and, you know, Shchuni Gavai and Shchuni Barai, Shuki Barai, sorry. So again, if, you know, if we have a chance, we'll try to get a little bit into those as well. But I thought at least we'd begin with a couple of the broader topics, starting with the Naskad Rababa, and maybe also do something on Eidechad Bakhasha and Hazama. If there are any other suggestions, again, we don't have so much time, unfortunately, but I'll be back in, you know, person next week. So we'll try to do Tuesday, Thursday. What's the schedule? Is this the group mostly that's going to be around? Do we know? Avrami, Josh, anybody? There's no sense yet. No clear sense.
I would assume that today may be a little bit different, just because maybe a little bit, just like right after Yontif or whatever. But.
Right. Okay. And we also had short notice, which I just couldn't plan anything, not knowing on the like the infrastructure. Okay. So we'll play. But, you know, maybe, again, we'll assume Thursday around the same time, unless I have to adjust it. Let's assume for the moment that next week, where we're back, you know, normal and in person, we could have some longer shiurim also. Let's assume Tuesday, Thursday for sure. Those would be the days. Let's assume for the moment 1 o'clock. But if there's an interest in making it 11 o'clock or 10:30, some people historically in June have had like internships or are taking summer classes. So my schedule is a little more flexible. So if there's an interest, if you could, you know, poll around just a little bit to find out if there's a greater interest in having the share earlier, we could do that as well. But we'll try to have two times a week for the weeks that we have. And again, if there are other, you know, topics, I'm thinking of Naskar Baba and Hakasha Hazama, but I'm open to, you know, some of the broader ones, some Migu issues maybe, although it's already coming up here. So if there are, you know, if there's, Josh mentioned something to me about Talui Vizavin, right? I'm, you know, open to that as well. That's, you know, also a really interesting topic. But for now, let's start with Naskar Baba. We don't have so much time today, but at least let's, you know, let's begin. So the topic of Naskar Baba is something we've touched on already. That's one of the reasons I thought we could start with it. And, you know, we're tempted by it, and, you know, definitely have talked about some of the principles of it, but to pin down some of the details a little bit better, because it's really an important Shas topic. both in terms of Eid Achad and Migo, but especially the issues of Eid Achad and Tvisa, both of which, Tvisa, which we've discussed pretty much all year in different forms, Tvisas Metaltalin. And of course, there is this, you know, inherent objective difficulty, just in understanding, you know, why or what is going on in the sugya. It's a very, it's unusual that it's a sugya which is so well known on the one hand, and, you know, is perceived correctly as being very foundational. And at the same time, it's just, you know, very remarkable for its being enigmatic, you could say, as we'll see. Okay, so let's have somebody read and just, you know, we'll comment as we go along. Some of the shittas we've seen already, but as I want to clarify them better, and I want to go into the status of Eid Echad more, and then maybe we can talk about other Eidus issues after that. Okay, so Yossi, if you don't mind. You have it there? So this is, again, it starts from Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, and it goes to Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara brings it in through Cheskas Gimel Shanim. We'll leave that part till later, but let's start with it anyway, just in terms of the case, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the Gemara says, Hahuda Amar Lichavre, my boss Bahai Aro. What are you doing with my property? So
yeah.
So I see Chad Sahada, the Ochlet Plashini. So he brought one aid that he had for 3 years. So the Gemara says, Sabra Abon Kameda Abai Lemima, Hainu Nascha Derbi Abba. That's parallel to Nascha Derbi Abba. Dahu Gavra, the Chotav Nischa Mechavre. So one person took something from another guy. Also Kameda Derbi Ami, Hava Yosef of Abba Kame. I see Chad Sahada the Michtaf Chot for Mine. So Omer Le in Chatvi Vididi Chatvi. So
before we even continue, Yossi, what do you think about this comparison? I mean, we'll see what the Gemara does with it in the end. But just like when you first encounter it, there seem at least to be a couple of issues. What are the couple of issues, would you say, at first glance?
The easiest issue is that the aid is coming on the karka to be Messiahim. Right. As opposed to by Nasco Abo,
who's against brought, right. I mean, the aid is brought on the side to support the position of the Machzik in this case, right? Yeah. Whereas in the Nasco Ababa case, which we'll get, you know, which we'll examine more fully in a moment, it seems like the aid, you know, is the witness of, I mean, again, this is, you know, makes it sound very much like, you know, I guess American law, you know, like my witness, your witness, you know, in the halacha, there are no my witnesses and your witnesses. Maybe that's the point, but at least on the surface, and in terms of, you know, issues like Migu and other things, certainly the impression is that, you know, he's going to support. It's not only that the, you know, the new machzik, we'll call him, as opposed to the marakama, it's not only that he's the one that brings the aid in, but the, you know, the, we'll call it the kabbalas edus in a way, and this is very important, of the Eid Echad's testimony has kind of the opposite effect as in the, you know, the classic Nasgur Ababa case. By the Kabbalah Seidus, I mean the way in which the Eidus is initially like perceived. This concept of Kabbalah Seidus is something we've talked about, but it comes up, you know, again and again. It's especially an important issue in the Sugya. Another possibility to do the Sugya of, you know, Davar Velo Chatzi Davar, when you have, you know, Eidus are made on a factor, a variable, you know, but not a davar shalem in terms of the ability to convict or to change the status, right? Shtei saros, you know, one and one. The Gemara has it, you know, with regard to gimel shnei chazaka, it's actually very important, right? Let's say you have, you know, edus, two edim for 1 year, two edim for another year, two edim for a third year, right? So what I mean by Kabbalah Seydus is the way in which the Eidus is initially received and perceived in Bezdin. So when this fellow comes, you know, and he's being accused, you know, so not only is he the one who's inviting in the Eid Echad, which sounds a lot less confrontational and a lot less, you know, demanding, but not coincidentally, this is an overlapping idea, is that the, you know, he's bringing him in to support his claim of Machzik Bokin and Maskiba Inshi, which is exactly what he wants. And therefore the Kabbalah Seydus in Bezin is, oh, like, you know, he's halfway there. You know, all we need is one more aid and he's going to win his case. Whereas in Naskud Rababa, you know, it's exactly the opposite. Not only is he brought in, and that's the reason, not only is he brought in by the Marakama, right, the initial testimony is damaging, you know, and perceived from a Kabbalah Seydus point of view as saying Goslin. Instead of like in the Machzik case, it's Machzik, you know, or Bailin. Like you could have like these neon signs, like, you know, he's practically there, you know, just a few more donations and, you know, and we'll reach our goal. But in the case of Naskud Rababa, it's like, you know, the neon signs are Goslin, who, Goslin, who, Goslin, who. That's number one. So that's number one and number two. What else? And I think closely related to this, what else would you say? And then we'll see what the Gemara says in the end. It could be, it could be not. We'll see. But not probably not that today, but what else?
You could talk about the issue of the piros in terms of being mechayev him, the piros that he ate over the years. It could be more closely parallel to Naskud and Biabo.
Okay, that's a good point. But the other point that I was looking for, that's for sure an issue, and that's true. That's always a certain dialectic and by the way, in the sugya of you know of davar v'lo chatzi davar, that is a big issue. I mean, that's one of the views of the Rishonim, that maybe when you have Edim being made about each of the years of Shnei Chazak, remember here we're talking about, you know, an Eid Echad who's made about all 3 years. I'm talking about a parallel case where you have two Edim, each of which, you know, three sets of two Edim that are made, you know, on each year. So the position of the famous position of the Rif is that that's not Davar V'lo Chatzi. It's also quoted by Tosis, by the way, later on. It's very rare for Bali Tosis to quote the Rif. It happens now and then, but this is one of the cases. But that's the view of the Rif. The Rif says it's not Chatzi Davar because independently, the Edim are made, like if nothing else, you know, each Kat that comes, if you don't end up with three Kite Edim, you end up with them testifying Miman of Shachman of Davar Shalem because of the Chiyu Peros, right? That's what Yossi is pointing out. Of course, the irony there is that in a way, the integrity of each Kat of Edim that you're going to accumulate, right, in order to give him a win, Machzik Bokin and Mechazki Ba'inchi, you know, is only justified by virtue of their integrity and independence, you know, in terms of going in the opposite direction. Which is why I think what the Rif says is a chiddush, and maybe a reason why some Rishonim, you know, were looking for other explanations, including what I call the Kabbalah Seydus explanation, which is, oh, you know, you don't look at it when they first come as saying, oh, there's a chiyuv, you know, peros. And then the next kat comes and you say, there's another, you know, year of chiyuv peros. You know, and then when the third kat comes, you say, oh, you know, forget about the chiyuv peros. He's the winner, you know, and it's his karka. But when I talk about, you know, Kabbalah Seydus, I always speak about, you know, filing, you know, just as a way of visualizing it. Like, you know, who's the, you know, who's the Toein and who's the Nitan, you know, and what kind of case, you know, is it? So I think some people didn't like the Rif because of that. But either way, your Ha'ara is a good Ha'ara. There is, I think, another issue, which I think also overlaps in both of these areas in a way. And that is that there's an assumption here about what? About the equation between tfisas metaltalin and cheskas karka. Right, the case of Rab Abba is a case of metaltalin, and when it comes to metaltalin, an issue that we've been discussing, right? So the case for kol masha tachas hadada marev shalo being like a very powerful principle is stronger in some respects, you know, than the muksakas of karka, or weaker. Hard to know. Put it this way, the implication of being the owner and of having, this is something that we have established again and again, you know, having established, you know, Gimel Shanim, or having established the status of Marakama, that actually may be more impressive than Tvisas Metaltalim. But disrupting, you know, Al Yedei, another Tvisa Mimakom Tvisa, is a greater or more obvious disruption than, you know, somebody who is, you know, claiming he's Yorah the Tok Sadeh Shel Chaveiro and claiming Kenyan. So I think there are basically two or three differences between these cases, and we'll try to see towards the end of the sugya whether or not this is, we'll read it now, but this is what the Gemara has in mind. Of course, the extent to which some of these issues are critical depends on how you understand what the problem is in Das Gedra Baba. The more you think that it's a problem in disrupting this tfisa, and that that constitutes a kind of a gezel, whether it's begavra or maisig zela, you know, the more the differences, you know, that we talked about are important, both in terms of Kabbalah sedus and the initial state of tfisa and the challenge, or chazaka and the challenge to that. The more you think, you know, that maybe there are other issues, and it's really very much focused just on, you know, how Eid Echad like integrates into this kind of a Din Torah, you know, maybe it's more parallel. Okay, so that's either way, the Gemara does make the comparison initially, right? Okay, and then the Gemara starts to analyze. Let's try to get into this, the problem of Nasgad Rab Abba itself. So let's put aside for the moment the parallel of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you know, with Eidus Eid Echad, and let's go back to the classical case. Okay, go ahead.
So Hanu Nasgad Rab Abba, Dahu Gavra, the Chot of Nasgad Michaver, Osa Chamei Derbi Ami, Hava Yosef Rab Abba Kamei, So Aisi Chad Sahada, the Michtav Chot for Minei, So Omer Le, so the Nitva said, In Chotvi Vididi Chatvi. So Omer Rabbi Ami, so Rabbi Ami said, Hechi Nidainu Daini Lahaidino. So how should we be done this case? So Lishalim Lekotre Sahadi. So we're not going to make him pay, because we only make you pay based on two Aidim. Lifter, to be poter him and not require anything of him, Ikachad Sahadi. You can't do that because of the one Aid. So Lishtavo Ha Omer Michtav Chotvo, Vikivan the Omer the Chotvo, Havali Kigazlon. So Omer Le, Rabbi Abba have a mechuyu shvua of enu yachol yishava, b'chol mechuyu shvua of enu yachol yishava, mishalim. So we say mitokshe enu yachol yishava, mishalim.
Okay, so we're going to break down each one of the stages of the Gemara, because you read it very nicely and, you know, correctly. But each of these lines in the Gemara is extremely problematic. That's why I say it's such a classical sugya, and it's just very difficult to understand the Shaka Vatari of the Gemara, because it's very difficult to understand, you know, conceptually, you know, why, I mean, the biggest question, of course, is why can't the guy just be Nijba and say, in Chatvi, v'didi Chatvi, it's really wrong, you know, with that. But along the way, some of that is, you know, kind of hinted at in the very strange Shaka Vatari. Then the Gemara concludes, might as well just get the whole, you know, Shaka Vatari in. Then getting back to the original comparison, go ahead, Amalei Abaye.
Amalei Abaye, mi domi. Hosom sa'ada lo rui ka'asi. The Edom are coming to, but not to be out, the Ed is coming to weaken him. So ki osa achrina bahade mafkina lamine. The effect of a second Ed would be to take it away from him.
Okay, also, so this, of course, very much sounds like one of the factors that we, or two of the factors that we spoke of before. Namely, he comes on his side, right? And the whole idea is ki osa achrina bahade mafkina mine, And that could also be read as a kind of a Kabbalah Sages idea, meaning we're just waiting for another aid. And, you know, when we get that other, when he's made, but he's only an aid achad, we're saying, you know, we're halfway to establishing a chazaka. We're not saying, oh, you know, there's an aid achad who is, you know, establishing unequivocally that this guy, you know, has been stealing, you know, for 3 years, you know, from the Marakama. Right? So it's whose side he's on, both elements, if you lose the language, we'll see what the Rishonim say. But Hasam Sahade La Rue Akasi, right? But the added line, like, why do you need that added line? Like, if it was just a factor of like whose aid is he, right? So then you don't need to add Ki Asakhrine Bahade Mafkina Lamine. This is a way of establishing, because we don't really care who brings him. Like, who brings him is, you know, because it's not, Eidos is an objective category. You know, it's not like, you know, I have my, you know, Eidim, you have your Eidim. It's not like expert, you know, testimony. We don't look at it that way. We look at it as the obligation that Eidim have to the Rabbanu Shel Olam and to Klal Yisrael. Eidos is such a pivotal, you know, foundational. We said it many times in the past, but it always bears a little repetition. You know, we just celebrated, you know, Chag HaShavuos, the moment of Gilui Shechina, and all the Rishonim explained, you know, the Rambam and the Ramban and everybody, that, you know, the foundation of our knowledge, for sure, and even our belief is, you know, through Eidos, in a way. So Eidos has never belonged, doesn't belong, it doesn't matter who brings it, that's not the point. The real issue is, you know, how is it perceived? So if somebody comes to court, whether it's one aid or two aidim, and he makes a certain statement, and in theory, you know, it can be perceived like in different ways. So sometimes that's totally neutral. Like there's a certain dialectic. It's, you know, the information, you know, is either going to be damaging or helpful depending on outside factors. Can you bring another aid? Other things. But typically, there is a certain kind of default Kabbalah Seidus, and that default Kabbalah Seidus, that's what I mean by, you know, filing it. So when you hear this, you're filing it under, you know, evidence supportive of the Machzik. And when you hear, you know, the same thing in the Maskud or Baba case, it's not only, you know, who brings him and is it helpful and damaging, it's, you know, how do we perceive that testimony? Is it negative echad, or, you know, is his actions negative echad, or supported by an echad? So it could very well be that that's what's going on. But I think that's why the Gemara has the additional line, ki osi achrini bahadei mafkinin laminei, as if to say, like, we're halfway, you know, to vindicating, you know, the machzik. So it isn't just that he's the one who brought he admitted it, he brought it, it's not a surprise, it's not damaging to him, it's, you know, he perceives it as support, it is supportive of him, because we look at it as, oh, you know, one more to go, right? So that's very important. Okay, Haka?
The Gemara says, Haka l'siyue ka'asi, so therefore, and if ki'as achrina mukmina labiyade, so ela idam yohadar bi'aba, l'chad sahado l'tarati shni l'peri. So if one aid was made that he only had it for 2 years and that he ate Paris during those 2 years, so then that's a mechayev for him. And then
right. We'd see. Exactly. Correct. And again, it could be that he brought him, you know, but this is a great example of what we're talking about. And that's why this is such a, I think, an important shock of the time. We'll see how the Rishonim explain it later. But just, you know, lefum riata, just reading the sugya, what we're saying is, oh, but if initially he's only talking about 2 years, you know, so then, right, the Kabbalah Eidos may very well be on, you know, how much money you owe it. Right. So, yeah. Okay, good. And that's why I say the riff that I mentioned, you know, that is quoted by the Baal Hei Tosis. By the way, that is on here on Daf Nun Vav Mem Beis. I'm just assuming everybody learned this or knows it, but that's the, excuse me one second. If you look here on Nun Vav Amud Beis, it's the riff on this sugya. Why am I not finding it here? Yeah, the Divar Masa Elam Ute Shnayim. Velo Dami Leidus Chazaka is the all the Rishonim are struggling to explain why, when it comes to Eidus Echad, Al Gaba V'Echad, Al Shnayim Omer, you know, Sear Echad B'Gaba, Sear Echad B'Kresa, that's considered Davar Velo, that's the problem of Chatzi Davar. So, Omer Rajba, Ein Tzor Chachalik Kipir Shakuntris, Afilo Hoysa Chashuva Gedola, Kishabad Kushne Eidem Ayom, Mikomakom, Velaro, Kimachas Begaba, Bad Kalamachar, Osam Eidem Atzam, Velaro, Kimachas Begresa Bishne, Kite Eidem, Chashav Chatzi Davar. Afapisharo, Komashichol. Rashi in that sugya suggests that Davar Velo Chatzi Davar is a sliding scale. It's whatever is accessible or available. If he could have, if the Edom have the potential to see more and they don't, that's called Chatzi Davar. If they see whatever maximally, whatever is available at that time, then that's, you know, not Chatzi Davar. So the Rishonim don't like, a lot of Rishonim don't like that. Instead, they give different answers. So the answer that Bali Tosfos are quoting, which is really the answer of the Rif, is V'lo Dami Le'edus Chazaka, Tahacha Ein Edusan Eidus, below Eidus Beis Achronim, Ve'imo L'shum Davar Ba'olam. The Ka'achav Chatzi Davar, when it comes to Eidus on Saros, right? You know, without having both of them, the Eidus is insignificant. So having half, you know, of is basically insignificant also. It doesn't stand on its own. There's no other Chalos to such an Eidus. If we're talking about years of Chazaka, that's basically a quotation, you know, of the Rif's perspective. If you look at the Ramban in Bochamos, on that sugya, the Ramban seems to say the Kabbalah Seidus idea that I mentioned, which is that, you know, when you receive the information from, you know, Shnayim Eidim, they say, oh, Ra'inu Seyar Echad Begaba. So the Ramban says, again, he doesn't use the word Kabbalah Seidus. I mean, he just says, oh, so what is that Eidus? Eidus Shektanahi. Then the other Eidim come along and they say, Ra'inu, you know, Seir Echad, you know, Bikresa. So they're also saying Ketanahi. Says the Ramban, two Ketanas do not a Gadol or a Gadola make. Again, he doesn't use that exact expression, but that's, you know, kind of what he's saying. But when two Eidim come along and they say, Ra'inu, you know, Shadarbo, you know, Kinebechazki Inshi. So, and then two other Edom come, they say about the second year, then two other Edom come along, they say about the third year. So, basically, each time you hear the testimony, you're not thinking, you know, that Ein Lo Chazaka, Ein Lo Chazaka, Ein Lo Chazaka. And then you're going to say three Ein Lo Chazakas does not Chazaka make. You're actually thinking, oh, he's made that he's Machzik. And then, you know, but we need two more years of that, you know, and then the next one comes, and then the next one comes. So clearly the Ramban, so again, you have Rashi who thinks it's about, you know, how much you can see at one time, which is an interesting issue. You have the Rif who thinks it's about, you know, whether or not there's an independent chalos to the Eidos, notwithstanding the direction. And then you, I believe that's a pshat, the Ramban and others, that it's really about the Kabbalah Seivas. Okay. So this is not, I mean, this is davar v'lo chatzi davar. This is where you have a dim and you're trying to piece together, you know, you're trying to cobble together, you know, a case. It's a very fascinating, you know, perspective. The whole notion of davar v'lo chatzi davar, which we're not speaking about now, but I guess we are, but we're not, is meaning it reflects another standard, like in Eidos, like, you know, in some legal systems, you know, the evidence is just, you know, random material that you assemble, right, in order to make a case. It doesn't really matter where it comes from. Like, there's no concept of the integrity, you know, of the cheftza of evidence. But in halacha, that's not true. That's the, you know, the gzeras hakasov of, you know, yakum davar, davar velo chatzi davar. Because we put so much weight on edus, right, there's a certain integrity to the edus. So it's not like, you know, like the prosecutor in many cultures, you know, legal systems, builds a case. They say, oh, he builds a case. You know, the lawyers, the, you know, the defense lawyers, the prosecutors, they're assembling information from different places and they're trying to make, you know, the case. That's not really the way we look at it in halacha. It's really, number one, it's like, you know, what, it, you know, appears to be the objective truth. It's not like who has a stronger case per se. But more than that, the Cheftza Shel Eidos has certain integrity. So in a way with the Gemara, I believe that's, you know, we'll see what the Mefarshim say later on. But when the Gemara makes this distinction, in both cases you have an Eid Echad, you know, an attempted change of status quo, right? So at the end of the day, you know, why does it matter, you know, who, you know, who's happy that he's coming to court, who's bringing him to court? Right, and even more than that, what we're trying to show is that the extra line that the Gemara adds in both cases, you know, is otherwise seemingly superfluous. Right, but right in the direction, it could be even that the riff was influenced by this, possibly. But the chiddush of the riff in Rambam Beis, let's say, is that you can salvage Davar Shalem and Eidos, you know, for the sake of, you know, Cheskas Gimel Shanim, even though the salvation comes from the objective status of the, you know, the Eidos in the opposite direction. Okay. Anyways, okay. So now let's get back to, so we don't have so much time, but that this is an important perspective to have, and we'll see, you know, how further that breaks down. Okay, so Yossi, let's get back to each of these components. Heichin dainu daini lahaidina, right? So the first one was lishalem leka treisade. So is there a gzeras hakasav that says that in order to be able to impose chiyuv tashlumin, that you always need to aid him, that ein motzi in mamon ela betrayed him?
No, I mean, there are, sometimes we will be motzi mamon based on, you know, our conviction in an umdana.
Oh, so number one, hodas baldin kameidim dami. Number two, possibly rov and umdana, but that gets you into the problem of, you know, whether hochen b'manach harov is an exception or a rule, but there's certainly some roves, right, which are effective in the fashos even, and certainly in mamanus as well. Okay, so you have hodas baldin, you have a kind of, you know, rove. Again, hodas baldin, it's an interesting question because, why is it an interesting question, Yossi?
It's a gzeres hakasuv, and it also, the Gemara brings it as a quasi form of edus. But it's very interesting because the Gemara also references it in different points in Cheskes Sabbatim as a hischaivos. So it's really its own thing.
So really, that's a great point. Hodas Baldin certainly works in Dine Mamanis, but the question is, like, what is Hodas Baldin, as you say? And there are contrary indications. On the extremes, it's, you know, either it's Chaybus, correct? If it's a Chaybus, then it's not really an exception, you know, to a requirement of Shnei Beinim Lahotzi Mamon. It's just, of course, a person could be Mischayev. It's just, if it's a Chaybus, it's not really, you know, considered Chiyuv, you know, Mamon, in the sense that it's, you know, Neged Ritzono or Neged, you know, his, you know, interests. And there are indications of that. However, Hodas Baldin Kimeya Edim Dami, the phrase already implies a connection to Edus. And Yossi said very well, it does seem to be based, at least according to Rashi, on Exeris HaKasuv. What's Exeris HaKasuv?
Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh.
Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. That's what Rashi quotes in Kiddushin. Right, at the Samachayim and base, where the Gemara had a Habamina that Hodas Baldin could work for Kiddushin. Right? The Gemara says, since it's Chav Lachrini, right, it doesn't work. But the Habamina was that Hodas Baldin is the equivalent of Edus. Right? The question is, what's the Maskana? The Maskana is that it's nothing more than Ischaivus. And there's no hiskaivus when it affects other parties. So anything that is chav lachrini, by definition, is not come under the rubric of hodas baldin kemedim dami. That's one way to read the Gemara. Or you could read the Gemara as saying, yes, hodas baldin remains a form of edus, right? However, it's only edus when there's no chav lachrini. Or it's only Edus Birur, not Edus Lekiyum Adavar. There are different ways to read that Gemara, but that Gemara in Sadechei Benbeis is very, very critical. The Ksos, famously, all over the place, you know, the most famous one is in Siman Lama Dalid, where he quotes the Maribe Rav and others, whether Hodas Baldin is a Neder, Hodas Baldin is Edus. The Ksos himself, though, talks about this a lot, and there's also something called Kinyan Odisa, based on the sugya of Isur Giura, in the end of Bav Basra, Kuf Mem Tes. The Ksos's own take is, A, there's something called a Kinyan Odisa in some cases. He kind of needs it because the two go a little bit hand in hand. But that Hodas Baldin Kimedim Dami is basically a form of Edus. The Ksos promulgated the Rashi in Kiddushin Samachayim and Beis. You know, I'm guessing that yes, Yossi's reflexive comment, which is totally accurate, is based on the influence, whether direct or indirect, of the Ksos. The Ksos thought that the Rashi, who says that the Makar of Hodas Baldin is Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh, that is like a really important statement. And every time the Ksos speaks about Hodas Baldin practically and makes reference to his other treatments, he'll almost always invoke that Rashi. I remember the first time, you know, or the first few times being very struck by, like, you know, what is there in that Rashi that's so, you know, impactful in this topic? But obviously the Ksos felt that why do you need Exeris HaKasuv if there isn't some formalistic element to Hodas Baldin? So the fact that Rashi emphasizes, you know, that there's a makar, or you know, suggests as a makar, Shayomar Ki Huzeh, you know, reflects a certain stature to Ischaibus, not just, you know, I'm sorry, to Hodas Baldin. But the Ksos goes on to explain that Kimei Edim Dami should be taken literally. And then he has a whole development that, you know, the Edus of Hodas Baldin is not subject to the normal limitations and qualifications of regular Edus, like, you know, Psul Kurva or Baldavar, you know, or the need for Shnayim as opposed to Eidechad. Like, it's a very consistent like very elaborate, you know, scheme of how he understands Haldos Baldin Kamedim Dami. Again, if you'd see it inside, you should look at it inside, Simon Lama Dalad. And the other place, he speaks in Simon Mem, Simon Pei. I once joked that like every 40 Simonim, the Xos, you know, gets back to this, in Chosha Mishpat, gets back to this topic. But it's a very, very elaborate idea. The reason I'm emphasizing this right here is because this line in the Gemara, taken out of context, or maybe it should be read literally, makes it seem like in order to be Motzi Mamon, you always require to aid. So the idea that Hodos Baldin is an exception to that is clear. Is there Hodos Baldin in this particular case? Presumably not. Or he says in Chatvi. Right. So on the physical facts of the case, there's Hodos Baldin. Let's say, you know, the physical facts of the case were established by Shnayim Eidim. And that would be enough to win the case, which it would in this case. Now, this is what makes this such a very difficult sugya. If Shnayim Eidim were to come to say, Ra'inu also, right, Shechotaf Miploni, that would be the end, right? That's implicit in our Gemara. If there were two witnesses, not one, the case would be over. So when the guy says, you know, in Chatvi, right? So if you say Hodos Baldin is his chaimus, and especially if you take a more standard view of what his chaimus means, meaning I want, you know, I'm committing to a certain result consciously, as opposed to, I'll explain. That's how the Xos again understands Iskaibus. That's a simple shot of Iskaibus. In order to like navigate some of the evidence, let me make it clear. My own view is that, you know, there's a view in the Rishonim and there's a view in some of the Achronim where Iskaibus, you know, isn't to the bottom line. Iskaibus is to like a different standard. Like I'm mischayev that this should be, you know, taken at face value, and whatever the consequences of that are legally, you know, we're going to run with that. Again, if you look at the Xos and the exchanges, you know, between the Achronim in terms of Hodos Baldin Kamedim Dami, it's all very extreme in both directions. Like, you know, the protagonists are fighting it out, you know, in terms of, you know, oh, you're saying Hodos Baldin is Eidus. So then there should be no discrepancies whatsoever between Shnayim Eidim and Hodos Baldin. And you can bring a lot of evidence and proof that that's not the case. And then you need the Xos to say, well, it's a different kind of Eidus. You know, and then what happens if you have Hodos Baldin against Eidim themselves? You know, kind of issues like that. Okay. By the same token, the critique against those who say Hischaivus is to try to show, you know, that there are cases of Hodos Baldin where there isn't a Hischaivus to the bottom line, I mean, to the result, to the final, you know, consequence. So they're saying, well, if it's Hischaivus, you know, then he has to sign on to that. But what I think it may be true is that, you know, there's something called Hischaivus, you know, which commits you, right, to a certain process or to, you know, upgrading a certain standard, you know, consequences be what they may. So here, for example, you have this person saying in Chatvi, right, and that's, you know, a Hodah. But you know, if it's Hischaivus, it's easy to say, well, but he's not saying I commit, you know, to the consequences of the, you know, Chatvi, because he's saying right away, in Chatvi v'didi Chatvi. But even according to the Xos, the things that Hodos Baldin, you know, is really Eidus, this is a little trickier. So once he said in Chatvi, it's Ki'ilo Darshnai Medim, like, isn't it over? In which case, even if there was not an Eid Echad, you could say, well, the second that he says in Chatfi, you know, Hodas Baldin Kame Eidim Dami, Ki'ilu Shnayim Shero Oso Shechataf. But of course, again, that's where some of the moderation, you know, comes into it. And that is, even according to the Ksos, this is an Eidus, but it's a flexible Eidus. I mean, it's his Eidus. And this goes to the heart of the matter, right? What's clear in the sugya, this is the difficulty in the sugya. If there were two Eidim who said Chatav, that would be the end of the case. Even though, objectively speaking, right, it's very possible that Chatav is Shelo Chatav. So there's a gap in this particular case between the Eidus on the facts and where those facts lead you. Because of that gap, that gap is responsible for all the difficulties of the sugya. But because of that gap, you need to say according to anybody and everybody, even those people who say Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami is Eidus, that since this is a Hodas Baldin, right, that is connected to the Baldin, therefore the facts alone are insufficient. The, you know, subjective interpretation of the facts, or the determination that the facts in this case don't lead to the typical conclusion. The typical conclusion obviously is augmented by the principle, and that's what's quite so amazing about the sugya, of what? What augments? And then the question is how much and in what conditions? Yisrael? What's the gap? What's the augment in this sugya? I mean, why is it true that when two Adam come and they say, Ra'inu oso shachataf miploni? And the guy says, yeah, that's exactly what happened. But in chatfi v'didi chatfi. Why does he lose? What's the augmenting principle? Akiva? Do we have only one Akiva today? You're like, you know, carrying the burden for everybody. But you're up to it for sure. The principle that we have, I'm just, you know, kind of doing chazar a little bit. Just trying to flesh it out a little bit because it's just a very remarkable Shaka Vatarya. What's the augmenting principle here? Yeah, exactly. Chazaka kol mashu tachas yadanam areya shalom. If it wasn't for that principle, right, then the edus, the objective edus, is uncontested, and the objective edus. If I say, you know, I saw Plony murder, you know, Almoni. There's nothing more to talk about. I'm talking about if Adam said it. If two Adam come and they say we saw a halva, there's nothing more to talk about. What if they said they saw halva, and the other guy claims, yeah, but it's offset by some other halva? That's closer to what we're talking about. Even that isn't exactly the same because it's a totally different taina, but at least there's a common denominator. So because it's chazaka kol mashatachas yadanam areyu shelo that augments the facts of the edus, it's not the facts of the edus alone, apparently that gives greater flexibility, even for somebody, even for the Rishonim and for the Ksos, who think that Hodas Baldin is a kind of edus, you can't just plug it in, is what I'm trying to say. But that just highlights, okay, so then, why aren't there ways or other ways, you know, to do, again, if Hodas Baldin is Mischaivus, he's not being Mischaiv, that's Pasha. But if it's, you know, a way of, which is mostly what the Ksos says, it's a way of escaping the limitations and the qualifications and the requirements the rigorous requirements of Eidos. Could be a Karov, could be doesn't require Shnayim, all of that. Right, so then you have it here. It should be the Suga should be a good Raya. I'm not sure that there aren't people who don't quote it as a Raya. I have to remember, I have to look again. You know, that the Eidos perspective in Odas Baldin is completely wrong. But I think that the answer is what I'm saying, which is, if you're the source of if the Eidim themselves, right, or the Eidos itself, I should say, if the Chetza Shel Eidos itself says, you know, Chatvi V'didi Chatvi, I don't mean Pashas and Pashahiter, maybe, you know, I mean it as, it's a little bit like Pashas and Pashahiter in one respect, meaning the Eidos, in this case, includes neutralizing the augment. Let's say the Eidim themselves came and they said, Ra'inu Osa Shechatav, right? The Yodim Anu, right? Sheshalohu Chatav. That's fine, right? That wouldn't be a basis for the Chiyuv. So here, that's what he's saying. He's only saying the words Chatavti. The answer is no. His edus is chatafti v'shali chatafti. Okay, so the problem is, but if you just read the Gemara Kiptuto, it's okay, so this Hodos Baldin, there's Rove. In a way, the Rove part is the chatafti here, but it sounds like the Gemara is saying something more, and that is, if, you know, because it's the augment, really, that kind of supplements the edus, right? So it's a little striking that the Gemara emphasizes so much the Shnayim Eidim. And that's where, like, the Rishonim, you know, come in to try to temper it. Almost all the Rishonim al Atar are basically trying to reread this line in the Gemara so it doesn't make it sound like, you know, two Eidim is the key here. Because it's not the two Eidim. There are other ways, you know, to be motzi mamo. Like, if we had objective evidence that didn't come from him, of Chatav, wouldn't that be enough? Because of Chazakah, Tomach Shetachas Yadana Moreshul, even if it weren't on the basis of Shnayim Eidim. So it's very interesting to note that while the simple pshat of the Gemara seems to build up Shnayim Eidim per se, that the Rishonim, who do I know the Rishonim? Rashi, if somebody has the Bini, you have it there. Rashi in Shavuos Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, the Rashbam here on Lamed Dalet Amid Aleph. How do they interpret this line? L'shalim leketrei sahadi, not that per se the two Eidim are critical to be motzi mamon. No, because again, if you had an objective evidence without an explanation, without a satisfactory neutralizing explanation for the augment of chazaka kol mashita chazal b'rei shelo, you'd be chayiv. Right? Yossi, you have it there? Or Bini, who do I call him? Bini? Yeah, you have it?
Yeah.
What does Rambam say? If you have, or the Rashi. Rashi
does the rest time, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what does he say?
Like a trade sadi, the chataf. Umigo, the e boy the maimar, lo chataf, the mehem and nami the maimar, did you chataf?
Huh? Is that simple pshat of the Gemara?
No.
Not at all. I mean, Rashi does this already in Shavuos in both places, on Lamed Beis and on Mem Zion. But the reason that they introduce, and this introduction, right, is hugely impactful. You know, the Gemara says nothing about Migu at all. You could read this Gemara, if there were no objective legal problem, and we didn't have, you know, Rashi slash Rashbam's solution, the sugya would have nothing to do with Biku. On the other hand, it's very difficult to understand what the Gemara is talking about. Why do Trey Edim? Why make that the main thing? So the way the Rashbam, and the way Rashi and the Rashbam are making, how's it go, Benny? There's an implicit, this is all about migu factor here. In other words, in Achanami, there's the Chazaka Koma Shetachas Yadam Hareyu Shalo. But if not for the presence of two, it's not that you need two Edom to be Motzi Mamo, per se, which is what the Gemara sounds like. And that might be an important echo for the broader question, especially if you eliminate everything else, like mostly Rove, unless it's a Vadai. No, Hodos Baldin is just his Chaivus, right, or a different form of Edus. So is it really true that you're only Motzi Mamo Mishnayim Edom per se? That's not how Rashi and Rashbam are reading. The way they're reading is, if you have the Chazaka Koma Shetachas Yadam Arei Shalo objectified, even without Shnayim Edim, that would win the case, all things being equal. Right, Benny? What the problem is, the unnamed or unstated neutralization of that Chazaka, which is the Migu. Right? What's the Migu? Benny?
He cooks to nothing? He likes to say he cooks that he bought it.
Migu di Bayamar. Migu di Bayamar. What does it say?
Lo chatafti.
Right. So Migu di Bayamar, lo chatafti, should be dem, lo mar chatafti, the shalichat.
He has the most of this right now.
And if there were shnayim edim, so how does that fit in the Gemara? Not that you need, again, it's a rereading of the Gemara. That's all I'm trying to show. It might be the right and only rereading of the Gemara. It might be the only rereading of the Gemara. It might be a right rereading of the Gemara. But I'm just trying to point out, it's a rereading of the Gemara. The simple pshat of the Gemara is that without Shnayim Edim, not Motzi Mamon, even when you have this Chazaka, even though it's very difficult to understand why not. Because you need the augment anyway. So it's just all factual. The Edom don't prove anything given the Taina. Doesn't matter. Maybe that's a prerequisite to be Motzi Mamon. Rashbam, Rashi are not reading that way. They're reading that there's an invisible factor in the Gemara, and that is Migu. The Migu would work if there aren't Shnayim Edim, because it wouldn't be Migu Keneged Edim, right? And that would neutralize the Chazaka. End of story. The Ravan, anybody get a chance to look at the Ravan? I know I gave these covers a little bit late. I want to thank Asher for passing them on. Anybody get a chance to see the Ravan?
I thought it said Ramban, so I actually wrote Ramban on the Makoros.
Oh, yeah? Did I write Ramban by accident? What?
You wrote Ravan. Or something.
Oh, but you're anticipating Ramban. But that's curious, because then later I added Ramban. Okay. But anyways, so, maybe again, I'm going to have to stop a couple of minutes anyway. But the Ravan in the Sugya, if you could look at it for next time, is very interesting in the whole Sugya. Instead of Migu, makes the Ha'ara that it's a Pesha Asar. This is very interesting. Yasi, you saw it? Or no? Okay. So very interesting. He says it's a Peshas a Pesha Hitir, because he's the one who's Moda, to begin with, that he grabbed it. It's interesting. There's a curious background to this Ravan. Ravan is trying to figure out why sometimes we say Bitok Shenechal L'Shavah B'Shalem, and sometimes we say, Bar Chashud, Shekenegdo Nishba the Notel. So, the Tosas Bab Metzia Daf Hey Amidal, if you look at it for next time, ask the same question. But Tosa asks the question, why isn't there always mitoch? Why do you ever say shekeneg nadishba v'notel in the case of chashad? The Ravan, you know, has the opposite, you know, default starting point. It's more like, why do you ever say mitoch? Why don't you always say, you know, shekenegdo nishba v'notel? Which is very interesting. So, you know, hopefully we'll get back to that. But his understanding, I'll take another couple of minutes just to get through this part of it, is that, you know, we're dealing here not only with a migu. I wonder, maybe migu wouldn't be enough to neutralize chazaka komat shetachas yadam merev shalom? Maybe. Or maybe it's for reasons that we'll get to in the next line in the Gemara. But for the Ravan, it's peshas and peshihitir. Because he himself is moda that he's kotev. That's equivalent of peshas and peshihitir. Okay. So then comes the next line in the Gemara. Let's just talk about that for another minute before we break, and then we'll continue with this on Thursday. And I'll add some more marmakobos. And you can look at the Ravan and the Ramban. So then the Gemara says, Yasi lifteri, lifterei. So what's lifterei ikichad sada? So what does that mean? Like the first line, as we noted, is very difficult. And Rashi and Rajbam had to introduce the unstated migo as an implicit in the Gemara. The next line is, you know, so why not be poter him? So the answer is ikechad sahada. So according to, again, the Pashtus reading of the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying is just because there aren't two Eidim, and that's a prerequisite to be motzi mamon, right? That doesn't mean automatically that you're potter, because there's an Eid Echad, and the Eid Echad is Mechayev Yoshua. So actually, in reading the Gemara, you know, reading the Gemara Kipshuto, you need two Eidim to be motzi mamon, and Eid Echad is Mechayev Yoshua. The Pashtus reading the Gemara is very simple. If you can get back past the logical problem that we mentioned earlier. But again, Rashi, the Rajbam, and the Ravan, who have all introduced Migu and Pesha Asar, they can't read the Gemara that way anymore. Because it's never been about Shnayim Eidim per se. It's what? It's that if there are Shnayim Eidim, then you have Migu, right, Keneged Eidim, or Pesha Asar, Pesha Hiter Keneged Eidim. So for them, reading this next line in the Gemara, once you've introduced this invisible but indispensable, you know, variable of the Migu or the Pesha Asar becomes, well, why can't the Migu or the Pesha Asar make you Pater Legamri? Now the Gemara is saying, oh, because it's an Eid Echad. That becomes like a whole new topic now. I mean, what happens when you have a Migu or a Pesha Asar neged Eid Echad? And is it neged Eid Echad? Or is it the fact that it is neged Shvua? Oh, so again, I'm going to stop in a minute. But let's just take very, very briefly. So what did Rashi and the Rashbam say?
So the Rashbam says, Lifterei, Mishum Hai Migu, Ika Chad Zahada, there's one aid. We are my lo chatvi, have a boy ishtavui lahachish as a aid. The claim that the Migu would be based off of is not good enough because it requires.
So you can see what's going on. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not challenging that this isn't a good read of the Gemara. It might be the best read of the Gemara. I'm just trying to sensitize us to how this happened and how amazing it is, really. Meaning, what am I saying, Yossi? That what? Meaning, once the whole reading of the Gemara is changing. Right now, the Gemara is really discussing Migu, Liftar, right? Mechazaka. So according to the Rashbam, when the Gemara says, so what? There's an Eidachlan. What does that have to do with anything? Abigu is not poter against Eidachlan. Is that the conclusion? So the answer is no. But we're getting deeper into this, into this, alternative shaklavataria. Namely, the migu is based on a taina that he could have made, right? But had he made that taina, he would have had to take a shvua. Because what would the taina have been? Lo chatafti. If he had said lo chatafti, and the Eidachlan says chatafta, he'd have to be nishba. Right? But the taina that he makes, which is in chatafti v'didi chatafti, you want that to work with a migu, but it's a flawed migu. So it's not a word about migu in the Gemara. But if that's the implicit, background of everything, so now we're discussing what happens if the taina rishona, the taina that he could have, the potential taina, requires a shvua, that doesn't make it that makes it a worse taina, right? So this, now we're deep into migu territory. Basically. Oh, correct? That's what he says. The Ravan is a little bit different. Again, maybe I should hold off to see it, but I'll just say very quickly. Because for the Ravan, it's not a migu, it's a Pesha Asar. In a Pesha Asar, there is no Taina Rishona. Assuming that Pesha Asar is just a stronger migu, but it's even more than that. It's like, oh, you're the source, lo plug. We either take everything that you say or nothing that you say. If we believe you on part, then we believe you, or we take it fully. And since in this case you initially came up, before the presence of Eidachlan, let's say, with this statement. So here, it's not so much Taina Rishona, Taina Shnia, but for the Ravan, it's Pesh Asar Peshahitir Bimakom Eidachlan. So it's the direct clash, between Eidachlan and the Pesha Asar. Okay. So this question of, also of, what happens if you have migu, where the potential taina includes a shvua? Is there a way to neutralize that? Oh. So this also is the discussion in Bali Tosis. And basically, the sugyan b'mavaser of ayin o ben aleph that Tosis quotes, which is, Mark? You got chance.
I saw it briefly. There, the Gemara says that if a person wants to claim echzarti on something he was given against the shtar,
let's say a bikadon, right? So
a bikadon,
he was mafkid the bikadon, and he wants to say echzarti,
right?
But so, he would have had to take a shvua. He could say, so we want to know, does he have a migu? Migu di bayama,
right? Even though the other guy is a shtar, he would have been able to say nanasti and taken a shvua sashomrim and injured himself. So the Gemara there says, okay, therefore, when he says echzarti, he's also neman with a shua.
When he says echzarti, so meaning the Gemara, the Kiddush of that Gemara, if you read a Kipshuto,
right,
and it's invoked by initially the Bali Tosis, but then by extension, all the later Rishonim throughout Shas, whenever they talk about these issues, it sounds like there's a way to neutralize the challenge to a migu based on the taina rishona. But here, when I say taina rishona, I mean the potential taina requiring a shvua. That is, the way to neutralize that is to add a shvua, to the taina shnia. Right?
Yeah.
That's essentially a way to read the, that's how Tosas is suggesting, as a continuation of the Rashbam, to read the Gemara. Yeah, you have a beginning, Mark? Go ahead.
You want me to read Tosos?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Right, so having a chuyah shuvina chol shabbat, shaharei moda, im tomar v'lehem yibishvua, imai da'amar didi chatvi, imigo di bai amar lo chatvi.
Yeah, he's not explaining this line in the Gemara, but by asking this question, he's getting into this exact issue. So what's he suggesting?
Saying he would have taken a
shvua. Let him take a shvua.
On didi chatvi.
When he says in order to re-energize the migu. Now, it's a Gemara, he's reading the Gemara like Rashi in Shavuos and the Rashbam, which is that the Gemara is focusing on the invisible variable of migu, and migu would be poter if it was a good migu, but now it's a challenged migu because the Taina Harishona requires a shvua. If only we could get back, you know, that migu, if we could rehabilitate that migu, right, then the guy would be potter, correct?
Right.
So Tosas is saying, you can rehabilitate the migu. You see from the sugya in Baal Basra, if in the Taina Shniya, the one that he actually makes, he also adds a shvua, right, then that solves the problem of the undercut migu. Interesting. Now, first of all, is that obvious that would work?
I mean, I was very surprised by understanding Gemara and Dafayin, because you're basically making up a Shua Daraisa. Tar gave you three cases to take a Shua on, and we're saying because
Ondos Nenas is a Shua. Right. So this is kind of like a Shua Rabbanon or whatever. So that's, we'll see in a moment. That's one of the views of Tosas. That's one of the things that Tosas points out. That maybe it only works if it's Rabbanon, but if it's Daraisa, it shouldn't work. And then they interpret the Gemara Babas. Well, we'll read on for a minute. Dibayam Elochatvi, 1 second.
Go ahead.
It's exactly your point, what you're troubled by, right?
Yes,
he
thinks
even though through the right, you see it works. That's how
you
see
we can still transfer the shvua.
So what's that? That's actually saying what you're saying. Don't get too carried away with the Gemara and Baal Basra proving that if you just add a shua to your Taina Shniya, you can salvage the impact of migu, right? Because that's only going to work if the initial shua is a shua d'rabbanan. But if the initial shvua is a shvua daraisa, then it's not going to work, right? Oh, yeah. So we're going to. I'll stop here. Let me just talk about this for just a minute. So, in general, this idea—I mean, again, that Gemara Baal Basra and the various ways that it has been understood—is very crucial to this, you know, question of migu and shvua and so on. I say it's invoked all over the place, everywhere and anywhere. Baalei Tosas are like, you know, I don't know whether the Ksos is more into the Rashi and Kiddushin about Ki Huzeh, Baalei Tosas into this Gemara Baal Basra, Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. But it's a very, you know, it's like a touchstone, you know, in the world of migu and this problem of Shvua. What do you think, Asher? Does it have anything to do with the migu issue, with the broad migu issue, or not? The broader issue being, as we've already touched on this. What?
Like the Koach HaTaina Ne'emonas question?
Yeah, or we like to say Birur, but yeah, whatever you want.
Right.
Meaning, we're familiar already, we've encountered, you know, in our later discussions in the first parak, but also a little bit in the third parak, and we're going to encounter it more, that there are, broadly speaking, two perspectives on Birur, right? One is, migu is a mistest for credibility and honesty. You know, you have a better lie. If you were a liar, you would have taken it. You know, you have an easy win, you know, and therefore if you're unscrupulous, you know, that's what you're going to do. The assumption is that you're aware of your easier path, A. B, there's nothing in that easier path, you know, that it complicates, you know, its attractiveness, right? And that C, that's what migu is. Migu is a is an honesty test or a credibility test. So then, you know, we believe you. That's the birur idea, generally speaking. If any of those factors that I just mentioned are disrupted, you're not aware of the, you know, of your victory. There are obstacles because it's both better and worse. Certainly, if it's worse, then you're not going to apply this principle. The other perspective, kochataina, whatever you want to call it, is the idea that, you know, somehow there's like a bit of a transference in some respect. Namely, if you, you know, if you were to make this first taina, this potential taina, you would win. And somehow that makes you a winner. What is that exactly? People understand it in different ways. The way I understand it is that it gives you a kind of buchzakos. Instead of the two, but then this is, not everybody explains it this way for sure. A lot of most people just don't explain it. They're dealing with the facts of migu and they kind of, you know, just describe it or define it. Some people go as far as to say, you know, we can't tell you why, but, you know, somehow the way migu works is that you give him, you know, the full benefits of the taina or rishona. Or it's ki'ilu, he was towing the taina or rishona. I am mistayeg a little bit from that formulation because I'm looking for it to be a little bit more, you know, logical, not just that, oh, it works. It's not birur. Something about the koach taina rishona. So my own personal take, and it could be that there is machlokas rishonim, especially in some of these sugyas in Chesk Sabbat, there's like a very, very recurring issue. But my own preferential take on the koach taina is that it, you know, creates an imbalance, you know, between the parties. Litovat, the person who's in a stronger position. In other words, just like there's a kind of muchzakos, you know, which gives you advantages, you know, things like motzei mechaver levaraya, like there's a status quo, maybe in muchzakos, in the quality of the taina too. And therefore, since you're in a position to win, you know, with taina rishona, that just, you know, creates an imbalance, an unequal situation. And therefore, it's, you know, it's that Baldin's case to lose or to win, basically, unless he loses. Having said that, what do you think, Asher? Do we somewhat agree about the legal perspectives?
Okay. I think both could fit with inserting the stage of Shavua.
Let's make it clear. Here you have a situation where the Taina Rishona would win, but it needs a Shavua. And right. We're trying to figure out whether or not you can just compensate for that by adding a Shavua, augmenting the Taina Shnia with that as well.
Right. Yeah, I think you could try to fit it into both, but if I had to choose, I would say the Koach HaTaina Muchzakos one would be more problematic for it, artificially connecting it to this new Shavua, and that might also depend on how transformative the Shavua itself is, as Excellent. Opposed to whether it's more of a Davar study.
Right. And maybe that's a Pshat in Rabbi Natan. I mean, in the citation of Rabbi Natan and Tosis. I mean, that matters whether it's Shavua Daraisa or Shavua Darabana. Meaning, so what Asher is saying is, if this is just a question of birur, so, you know, again, we're trying to figure out, you know, the paths, you know, in front of us and how attractive or unattractive they are. Because, again, we're just, you know, measuring this person's credibility. So we'll say, of course, he could take the other, you know, pathway, you know, but then he has a shvua. But this way, he's only going to win with a Shavua too. So either way, he's willing to take a Shavua. Shavua Daraisa, Shavua Drabanan. Fundamentally, he's willing to take a Shavua. And that's what counts. However, if we're talking about koach hataina, and especially if, you know, that is determined by, you know, really whether it gives him a kind of muksakos, you know, to win in the case, then number one, the ability to transfer isn't so obvious. The problem is that, you know, he's you know, bechusar shvua to win, you know, in that first case. And then you'll tell me if this is what you meant, but this is what I understood, and this is, you know, what I think is true also. And that is the more the shvua that is required in the first taina is something that is fundamental to his victory, as opposed to being a more peripheral or tertiary obligation, the more, you know, that just, you know, kind of undercuts, you know, the migu or the taina rishona as something which gives you that kind of power, you know, to begin with. In other words, to say it this way, are many shvuos drabanan, and there are levels of shvuos drabanan, we've discussed this already, you know, two types of shvuos in Nishma V'notel, the difference between, you know, shvuos b'nikita skeifetz and not, what about hesses, what about shtabat delot praticha. We've touched on, and even within shvuos d'oraisa, of course, shvuos d'oraisa, shvuos drabanan, even within shvuos d'oraisa, there are differences between shvuos eid echad, shomrim, Bodhi b'miktas, but the more that the shvua is a real requirement, like, you know, you have to give me that shvua, or it's really mevarer the case. So, in absence of actually taking it, there's a huge hole in your ability to be goven. The more it's kind of a peripheral requirement, let's say l'hafis daitel shabalabayis, or like a, you know, like a stab in the dark, you know, kadesha yoda, to use the language of some Rishonim. So basically, we believe you without the shvua. You know, it's a chumrah, or it's an added, you know, as I say, an outside, you know, chance, you know, to be mavar things in a different way. But it's not really mechusar, you know, his mechzakos in the case without it. So I think that, you know, I agree with what Asher said. I think it's possible to explain zchus hataina or koach hataina, even if you can make this transfer, but it becomes much more difficult in the mirror way. And I think then the quality, or especially the quality of the shvua, which in turn impacts, you know, how you perceive in the absence of the shvua, the strength of his position, which is what matters for koach hataina, that becomes a question. So Tosis is the suggestion here that you would be mechalek between shvua d'oraisa, you know, and shvua d'rabanan. I think is very interesting. I would have added something, even if you don't hold that Rabbeinu Tam. It could be that the sugin b'masra daf ayin, the ability to do this substitution in a shvua d'oraisa of shomrim, of nanas, might be assessed differently than what we're dealing with, which is maybe the most powerful form of shvua, namely shvua seid echad. Why? Because shvua hashomrim, even though it is d'oraisa, I guess there are two ways to look at it. But as we know, it's a shvua d'oraisa al tainas shema. And there are two opposite ways to look at that. One way is to focus on that narrow point, and then to say that shvua hashomrim is kind of l'hafis, even though it's d'oraisa, but it's kind of l'hafis daito shema labayis or shema yodeh. But, you know, there's no real basis because he can't know. There's no taitas v'adai. And therefore, it's a lesser shvua. And the guy is really potter, you know, all things being equal until he's chai. The other way to look at it, and these are both very documentable in the sugyas of shvuas hashomrim, is to say exactly the opposite. And that is the very fact that, you know, even b'tayna shema, we impose a shvua d'oraisa, reflects that the chiyuv Hashavas HaPikadon is like an Adiodea, you know, in Praticha, not an Adiodea in Hiskayavti. In other words, that to begin with, the burden of proof is that, you know, if you are Shomer, you know, for whatever reason, you can't return the object to the, you know, to the Mafkid, then you're Chayiv until you're Potter. Ad Kedei Kach, you know, that part of your Chiyuv Hashava includes a Shvua, even though there's no Tainus Vaadai. You don't need a Tainus Vaadai because it's just part of what makes you Potter, a kind of Adion Deya, a kind of, you know, Cheskas Chiyuv. So I think if we're talking about this question of like rehabilitating a Migu, and we're going to be considering the possibility that two things, I would say, that the quality of the Shvua, which would have been needed in Taina Rishona, matters, and the relationship between the Shvua in the Taina Rishona, had you gone that route, and the Shvua that we want, you know, to employ, you know, to neutralize that problem in the actual Taina that you make, if that discrepancy is important, then it may be not just about Doraisa and Drabanan, but it also may be about the, you know, the quality of the Shvuos Drabanans or the Shvuos Doraisas themselves. Okay? So that whole, but this whole discussion and this whole Shaklavataria of the Gemara, Mekor Tarshbam, Rashi, this is like part of the Shaklavataria of the Gemara, that can only be because, you know, the augment, as we discussed originally, makes reading the Gemara Kipshuta very difficult. So that invisibly or implicitly, maybe it's a better way to say it, doesn't have a negative connotation, implicitly, the Shaklavataria of the Gemara, according to many Rishonim, is about, you know, Dine Migu. Migu b'makom edachad, Migu b'makom, you know, Chiyuv Shvua b'tayna harishona, you know, and get into all, you know, of those issues. Of course, the biggest question, I'm not finished with this part yet, is the last one, and that is Lishtaba, right? And Kiva Damar Chatvas Havaleka Gazlin, what does that mean? So that, of course, you know, is either to be taken literally, and it's the ultimate expression of Chazaka Koma Shetakas Yadana Bereu Shalom, that in the absence of like a completely authoritative interpretation, the default is so powerful, you know, that Tfisa of somebody else's, you know, state of Tfisa is Gazel. Or you need another explanation, which we've already discussed you know, previously, the Rashi, the Rashbam, the Rambam, the idea that somehow that's not what the Gemara means. What the Gemara really, really means is that some mysterious reason, you can only take a Shvua when you're Makhish, either the Gavra Eid or the Chafsa Shaledos. Okay, so we need to discuss that more. Either way, I guess the takeaway is every one of these lines in the Gemara, which are read maybe bepashtus, you know, can't be read bepashtus mostly. And that's why the Rishonim are working so hard. And instead, what's being weighed is two big topics. One is how default powerful is tfisa from a state of muchzakus in metaltalin, right? To what extent are you really just a goslin, you know, until overwhelmingly you can give evidence otherwise? You could have said, no, this is the chazaka, it plays its role, but we have stakos about it. Certainly, there's no catch-22 because of it. So that's one big issue that we're discussing here. How powerful is that chazaka? And number two is this Gemara is touching on the nature of Chiyuv Shvua Seidan and how to you know, respond to that potentially. Okay, so we'll pick up with this in Yitzhak Hashem as things stand now, Thursday, same time.